Hello and welcome to my channel. I love it when we get to talk about leadership and performance. And as you know, we share a lot of content around that. But I especially love when I can do an interview with athletes who I think are doing an incredible job of pursuing excellence on and off the field and creating moments that matter. Today, you're really going to be blessed by this interview that I get a chance to do with Aiden Morrison. And we talk about faith, family, and soccer. And it's just an incredible interview. There was so much insight and so much wisdom. If you don't know Aiden, he is an incredible soccer player for Seven Lakes High School. He's going to be playing college soccer at Liberty University. And Seven Lakes, the boys' soccer team, is a back-to-back state champion. And so he's on that team. He's been a four-year starter. It's incredible for a 6A team. In fact, I think they were the first one to do it, to win back-to-back state championships in the highest level in the state of Texas. And Aiden has earned all kinds of accolades. I could go on and on about his awards, and he's been a district MVP the last 2 years. He was a state MVP. He's been a super elite first team player. If you name the award, he's won it. And it's incredible because I think he exemplifies this thing that we're talking about pursuing greatness. Selfless exceptionalism is my mentor and great friend David Cook defines it, pursuing your best with the intent of inspiring others to pursue their best as well. And I love the interview. I love some of the things that came out. And again, if you're a parent, if you're an aspiring athlete, you're going to gain some advice and wisdom. He gives some great advice on for parents about being a sports parent in this. And he also talks about his faith, which we share, and talking about how his faith in Jesus has been able to allow him to pursue excellence and not tie his identity to his performance, but to be able to play loose and fierce and free, knowing that his identity is secure in that. And so there's just some great nuggets of gold and wisdom in this interview, and I'm looking forward to you sharing this with you today. So enjoy this. I think you'll want to take in the whole interview. It's a little bit longer than some of the ones that we do on this Monday Morning Moments podcast, but I think you're really going to be blessed by this. And let's get into the podcast. Welcome to Monday Morning Moments. I'm Mike Van Hooser. Today, I'm really excited because we have a very special guest in this series that we're doing on pursuing greatness. And the subtitle of this one is Creating Moments That Matter. And our guest today is definitely somebody who's created moments that matter over the last several years and really throughout his life, and is just an incredible person, an incredible soccer player, and his name is Aiden Morrison. So I'm really happy to bring him into the podcast today, and we'll bring him on up here. Aiden, congratulations on everything. We'll get into some of the things that have been going on, but I'm so glad. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to get started and get talking.
Yeah, definitely. So I think there's a lot we can get into. I wish we had even, you know, more time, but, you know, I've gotten a chance to know you over the last couple of years, seeing the progress and the impact that you've had on the Seven Lakes soccer program. And if y'all don't know, Seven Lakes High School is a 6A school in Texas, in the Katy area. We've had a lot of affiliation with that school and even spoken into both the boys and the girls soccer team there. Aiden is a part of a two-time state championship, and they've won back-to-back state championships, and we'll get into some of that, but he's just coming off that second state championship with him and an incredible coach and Coach Kruger there and incredible teammates. But Aiden, what I really want to do is get into, we're talking about pursuing greatness, and as my mentor and friend David Cook, who's a sports psychologist who really has helped me get into this area and working with athletes and coaches, he talks about greatness as being selfless exceptionalism. And that idea of being your best and pursuing your best in all things with the intent of inspiring others to pursue their best. And so that's the backdrop of what I want to get into. But tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you've traveled all over. You've, all for soccer, played in a lot of different areas. But tell us a little bit about sports you played, kind of your family growing up, and how you got to Seven Lakes.
So I started out playing, I think my first sport I played was soccer, actually. So and then I got into different sports as I was growing up. I played basketball, I played t-ball, but ultimately soccer was always what I fell back on and always what I loved to do. And I think a big part of that was my dad. My dad grew up playing soccer. He's from Scotland. And so that's a big part of their culture there. And always there was soccer on my TV. You know, my dad's always talking about it with his friends or whatnot. But so I think that's really where it came from, that influence on me. But yeah, ultimately, I made the decision myself to continue playing. And I'm glad I chose soccer and not any other sport for many different reasons. But yeah,
it seems to have worked out for you well so far.
Definitely,
so.
Yeah.
How old were you when you zeroed in, you know, on soccer and knew, hey, I might have something here as far as a gift and also a passion for that too?
I think I was about 9 or 10 years old when I joined my first like real club. I had played like recreational all the way up until then, but when I think I was 10 years old and I joined my first real club, and that's when I kind of dropped the other sports and started taking it really serious.
Okay. And when did you move to Katy?
So I've lived here my whole life.
Whole life. Okay. Gotcha. With you traveling around the world, I didn't know, but it probably was for different clubs and different moments that you did. I mean, talk about, you mentioned to me England, Scotland, Sweden, you've played in a lot of different places, but was that a part of your club teams or was it part of summer camps or ID camps?
Yeah, so I've been blessed with different opportunities and experiences all over the world. I've been on trials with professional clubs in both England and Scotland. And Sweden, and I got an opportunity this past summer to go to Denmark with a sort of it was a team made up of kids from all over America who we got together and we went and played against some of the clubs in Denmark. And so it was all opportunities through connections I had with my coaches or with friends and stuff. So yeah, right. I've been very lucky to travel the world.
Yeah. Well, and that's great. And I think that one of the things that I see, at least from afar, you know, for you, is that a lot of times in soccer, and I've seen this with both on the girls' side and the boys' side in soccer, players that I've worked with who've gone from high school to college to pro, you know, club soccer can compete with team high school soccer, and especially when you're a high school athlete and you have competing priorities and different tournaments and different things. And now even the season is interweaving with your high school season. One of the things I've seen that you've done is that you've done that well and had these, you know, additional opportunities to go outside the country, but you've also prioritized your teammates at a high school level and been able to prioritize that and as evidenced by, you know, 3 straight trips to the state championship and 2 back-to-back state championships. So talk a little bit about that, because I think we have athletes who have competing, whether it be soccer or, you know, basketball or other things, prioritizing not only the high school experience with the opportunity that you've had in other areas as well. What has that meant to you?
Yeah, that's definitely a hard thing. And I think almost every high school soccer player faces that challenge, and probably with other sports too, where your club can conflict with your high school. And dealing with that's been a little difficult. My club in the past has done actually really well where they kind of take a break during the high school season, and that really helps a lot. But through all the club years I've played, it's kind of a different connection that I have with my club versus with my high school, to where at high school I feel more a sense of pride and like belonging to a family, where my club sports, not to say club is great, but it's just a bunch of kids that are working for themselves to try and eventually, you know, achieve something by themselves. But for high school, it's these are the people that you're friends with. These are your classmates and people you spend every day with. Yeah. So, it's a different sort of feeling for high school, and that's why I've always valued it so much. And it's been so important to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really great when you get to play with high character people and high, you know, caliber, you know, people as far as their soccer talent and excellence as well. And you've got some amazing teammates that you've played with during this time. I'm going to get into some of the soccer things, but I want to ask you one more thing just about your family and upbringing, because you had mentioned to me you were homeschooled until high school, right? And
yeah,
your mom, you know, was doing that with you. But what have you learned, you know, from your family, and what was that experience like? And then being able to come into high school and, it, you know, immediately make an impact, because, you know, I'm sure it was a hard adjustment, but also, you know, on the field, you immediately made to make an impact, or were there making an impact, and, you know, made varsity your freshman year and all of that. But talk about what you learned from your mom and that experience and how it helped you for your high school experience.
Yeah. I mean, being homeschooled was truly a blessing in my life. I mean, all the things I was able to develop and learn from being homeschooled is different than public school. Definitely, it's very more influenced by your family. And I'm lucky to have such a great mother where all the things she taught me and all the different character traits I've been able to learn just from my family and along with my sisters, they were also homeschooled with me. And the relationships I have with my family is really what's most important to me. And being homeschooled really helped that. And I mean, over time, it's why I am the way I am and who I am is because I was homeschooled. And oftentimes homeschooling gets a bad look, antisocial or different things. And really, I mean, I could see how that happens sometimes, but I think my mom did a great job and I give her full credit into building me into the man I am now. And yeah, going into high school was probably the biggest decision I've ever made in my life because I had never been to school before. And When I stepped foot into Seven Lakes, it was definitely scary, but luckily I had already made some friends through club soccer that I knew at Seven Lakes. And it ended up going great. I made varsity as my freshman year alongside one of my good friends, Noah Stasic. And yeah, that's where the journey began.
That's great. Yeah. And some people don't know who Seven Lakes is, but there are about 3,000 to 4,000 students at Seven Lakes. So you're jumping you know, right into that. So,
yeah,
you know, I think in talking about some moments, because I want to get into some things around that, but I want to go back to, I think it was the quarterly final regional, all the names kind of leading up to finally winning the state championship get confusing as well. But there was a moment where, you know, y'all are on this path. You have a goal of, you know, winning that first state championship and had done well in district. You're doing well in playoffs, but you meet a district opponent in Cinco Ranch, I believe. And in that game, it comes down to the final 2 minutes of the game, the match, and y'all are down 2-0. So, and for people who don't know soccer, that's, you know, a huge lead in soccer to be able to make that much up, especially against a great opponent. What were y'all thinking in that moment? What were you personally thinking? And maybe what was Coach Kruger saying to you during that time as well? Because obviously soccer is not like basketball or, you know, football where you can call a bunch of timeouts and things like that. But what was going through your thought process a year ago as y'all thinking about a goal that could not happen?
Yeah, that was a huge moment. I mean, to be 2-0 down, you pretty much could count us out there. But I took a look around the field and I saw how impactful it was on the seniors and how upset they looked. And I just knew, I was like, there's no way like this can end right now. And I mean, somehow, some way we found a way. And yeah, I mean, it was hard to hear Coach Kruger at the time, obviously, because of all the chaos going on. But you look around at each other, and I made eye contact with some of my teammates, and you can just see it in their eyes. If we're gonna go out, we're going out one way, and it's leaving everything on the field. And I mean, we just absolutely turned that game around somehow.
Well, and you mentioned Noah. I mean, he hit the first goal, right? I mean, within 2 minutes. And then I believe y'all had a penalty with 2 seconds left. And you were the person who stepped up. And you've stepped up in those big moments. And I think that, you know, take me through a little bit of that. Because in a 2-minute scramble where you've got to recover 2 goals, there's a lot of chaos going on. They're probably packing it in as well. And you're fighting for everything. You get to 2-1, still, you know, rushing with that adrenaline to try to, you know, get that second goal, find a way. And 2 seconds, there's a foul that's called. You're the person who steps up. And talk about your mentality of quieting your mind and the process that you get to when you've been probably just, again, on 11, trying to, you know, to get there. But then you have to quiet your mind and do that. I think that would be very helpful to take us through that process, because I think a lot of times people are trying to build that mental toughness and resiliency as well and just say, well, I'm just not born that way or whatever. But there are probably moments that led up to that. But what was something that you, if you think back about that moment that you, you know, actually successfully, you know, conquered that moment, tied it up, y'all went in penalty kicks. But what was the process you went through?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously that's a huge moment for me. Probably one of the biggest pressured moments I had ever been a part of up until then. And when the foul was first called, I just knew that I had to take a step away because of all the chaos that was going on and just everything that game had going on. I knew I needed to take a step away to clear my head and to get in the right headspace. And that's what I did. I mean, I went and grabbed the ball and I started thinking to myself, like, wow, this is a huge opportunity for me. And I mean, I'd never really think a doubt came into my mind that I was ever going to miss. It was almost like I wasn't thinking at all. Like it just happened. And I mean, I knew where I was going. I've practiced penalty kicks a bunch, and ultimately my preparation is to take a step away. Don't let anyone get into my headspace. This is my moment. And yeah, I ended up scoring and it absolutely turned the game around.
Well, I think you mentioned, you know, getting in the right headspace. I know you've talked about taking a deep breath. I talk to my athletes all the time and more now about breathing and how important it is. Sometimes I get a look like, what? Of course I'm breathing, but not taking the right deep breath to kind of set yourself, right? It resets that moment and sets yourself for the moment. But the practice and preparation of knowing, you know, where you were going with that. And I'm sure that we could spend, this is a different podcast, but people wouldn't expect that on the soccer pitch that, you know, there's trash talking and other things going on, but there's all kinds of stuff going on, right?
Yeah, there was actually a guy who was, he was standing at the spot and I could not tell you one word he said to me because I was just in a different state of mind. I was in a different zone. There was no one that was going to touch me then. And I couldn't even tell you what that guy was saying to me or anything.
That's great. The ability to zone it out is important. So, well, what, as you think about this year, so y'all end up, you win that game in penalty kicks, make it to the state championship. There's some other great moments around that as well. But coming into this year, one of the things that impressed me is that y'all didn't shy away from the goal to a person, you know, whether it was you, Noah, Coach Kruger, anybody, it was like, this is our goal. We're defending the title. We're going to, you know, this is our goal to win the title again. And everybody's coming at you. We have a tough district in Katy, so that prepares you well. But talk about, you know, the process of getting, you know, through this year and what was most important and how you approached that, specifically you, you know, as a player.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of a different situation for me because I hadn't been there the first semester. I was playing with Dynamo Academy for the whole first semester. And same with Noah. Noah wasn't here in the first semester either. And so coming in, it was a little different coming into the start of the season, but it was the same people, my same friends. And they welcomed me right back in right away. And yeah, I think we're lucky enough to have such a competitive district to where it really prepares us for any adversity because of all the tough games we face throughout preseason and through district play. And we had some really tough games, which I think, I mean, gave us a feeling and a readiness for playoffs. And when playoffs hit, it's a whole second season and it's a different mentality. Everybody flips the switch. I mean, districts is good and all, but that's what we really play for is playoffs. And yeah, when it came time for playoffs, we were in a different zone. We completely focused on our ultimate goal, which is winning state. And I mean, that was the goal the whole way. But once you get to playoffs, that's when the goal becomes reachable, you know?
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it was a perfect journey, I would say, through districts to prepare us for it.
Yeah, that's great. Kind of fast forward to the state championship and talk a little bit about that because, again, the win was, you know, you stepping up again. And I love that kick. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. I wanted to be there, but I'm keeping up with updates from Dennis Silva and Tyler Tyre and everybody who covers y'all. And saw the video of that. You just froze the goalkeeper there. But again, in that particular point, I mean, you had a wall there, so it was a different type of kick. You were, I think, 30 yards out. So what was the mindset, you know, going into that? And again, knowing I think there were about 2.5 minutes still left to play, something like that. And if not, that was overtime, so y'all would be going to penalty kicks. So your mindset going into that about ending it right here?
So the free kick is obviously a lot different than a penalty kick. It's a lot more difficult. But again, I would say I always prepare for those moments. I practice free kicks a lot. It's my responsibility to be the free kick taker for our team. And I think with the confidence that my teammates give me and the confidence that I see Coach Kruger has in me in those moments, I know that whether I make it or miss it, like, they care about me and they love me. And that's where my confidence comes from. It comes from all my teammates. And I have a big self-confidence too in my own ability and in my preparation for that. And yeah, again, I cleared my head. I took a deep breath. I always do before moments like that. And yeah, I mean, you can't even explain how perfect it was.
That's great. Well, and one thing that I think is in what you just said is huge. And we talk a lot about, you know, for athletes not to tie their identity to their performance. And with that, they're freer to play. So could you comment on that a little bit? Because, you know, playing from a place of acceptance versus for acceptance is really big. And you mentioned some things about your teammates, your trust and all of that. But yeah. Talk about what that means to you and how you've learned, you know, maybe that to develop that inner confidence versus external confidence. Like, if I make this kick, then I'll feel good about myself.
Yeah, that is one of the most important things that, like, if I could tell athletes one thing, that's what it would be, is do not find your identity in your sport. You need to find it in other things. And for me, I've really been able to do that over my high school years with, I mean, different things I can find my identity in, whether it's my faith in Jesus or the relationships I have with my friends or my family and different things like that. If you truly realize what is important in life and what matters, then everything else can fall into place, where your sport, whether you perform well or you don't perform well, you're still the same person and nobody can take that away from you. And yeah, I mean, that's ultimately, like, it kind of sounds weird where you take less focus away or less importance away from your sport and put it onto other things. But really, you don't even realize until you do it how much it truly can help you because of how free and confident you feel when you play.
Very well said. Amen. I mean, that's perfect. Yeah. And I think that you're an example of that, because I think when somebody first hears that, they may think, well, that means you don't care as much, or you don't, you know, we need to be more stressed or more. No, there's a way to play with joy and focus and pursue excellence. And you said that exactly. I mean, it actually does the opposite. It frees you up to play at your best.
Yeah. So yeah,
that's awesome. Who have been some of the biggest people in your life that you've learned some things from, and what have you learned from them? Biggest influences?
Definitely my coaches over the years. Obviously on the soccer side, they've had the biggest influence on me, whether it's building me into the player I am, teaching me new things and stuff. But also my parents, my family, into shaping me into who I am, my friends who are always there for me. But I mean, definitely Coach Kruger's had a huge influence on me since I've stepped into high school and really given me different opportunities, which have helped me grow as a person and take leadership roles, which I never thought I would have to do, and ended up shaping me into a leader and being able to lead people. And that's a huge skill, I think, that I've learned from Coach Kruger. And yeah, it's really important.
Yeah. It seems like you have, I mean, that's the relationship I've gotten to see. And it seems like you have a good relationship, even one that you can joke around with him as well and allows you to do that. So that's great. It's important when you have that kind of relationship. Going back to faith, because you mentioned that, and that's important to me as well, and we share that. You know, is there a Bible verse or something that's meant a lot to you that you've taken into competition? Because one thing I see is that sometimes people will, if they are a person of faith, if they do believe in Jesus, you know, that they leave that, you know, for the spiritual world, but don't bring it into the things that they're doing, whether it be on the soccer field or at work or whatever. And that was never the intent. It's who we are. It's the foundation for everything that we do. So has there been something, talk about your faith a little bit around that, and also if there's been something, a verse or something that's meant a lot to you.
Yeah, I mean, my faith is definitely the most important thing in my life, and I use, or I try my best to use soccer as a platform to show that to others, to show what's truly important is caring for others and stuff. So, I mean, as best I can, I try to use my gifts of soccer and leadership to show others what truly matters in life, whether that's showing kindness or caring about your teammates or being there for them or helping them through a situation or anything like that. And just through my leadership, I try my best to show my faith through Christ and be an example of Jesus. But I mean, there's definitely moments on the field where that can be hard or challenging when, you know, anything comes up and you're doubtful of what's going on. But I mean, at the end of the day, you just have to understand that it's God's will, whatever happens on the field, off the field in your life. And for a Bible verse, I wouldn't say I have one in particular. I mean, everybody quotes Philippians 4:13, but
right.
I mean, that one is very applicable for sports and everything, but
right.
I wouldn't say there's one in particular where.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you've answered the question very well. That's really good. And you know, you mentioned doubt, and I think that, you know, what I see a lot of times is that even in working with a team, you know, there may be levels where the best person on the team, you know, just and wherever another person is on that team, they think, well, that person never has doubts because look at, you know, how successful they are, yeah, or whatever. But can you talk about that, whether it be doubt or fear, or because so many of your peers are struggling with that right now, and just how to process that and think that having doubt or having fear is abnormal or, you know, not a normal process. But yeah. Do you have doubt? Do you have fear? Have you dealt with that in different moments?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's so many moments, I mean, in soccer and not in soccer, where you just have to realize that you're not in control. And I mean, I can give you examples of tons of different games. That Cinco game we talked about earlier, there's no way that I felt like I was in control of that game. I mean, of course, I'm having doubts throughout that whole game when we're 2-0 down and I'm doubting what's going on and why is this about to happen? Why are we about to lose? We're supposed to be the best team in state and we're about to lose. And self-doubts as well. I mean, doubts about my own ability. I can have those at times when I'm not performing well, and that can lead to other doubts too in my life. And do people care about me because I'm not playing well, or do my coaches like don't think I'm good because I'm not playing well? And yeah, I mean, different doubts can come up through soccer, and I mean, I'm just like everyone else. I have doubts, but I think I have a firm foundation of how I can deal with those, and through my faith and through praying and through my relationships I have with people around me who give me confidence, and it makes it a lot easier to deal with those doubts.
Yeah, absolutely. That's well said. You mentioned a piece of advice that you would give to maybe other upcoming soccer players or other athletes, but what do you see? I mean, as you think about, I mean, it's your senior year, you're getting ready to go to college, but what advice would you give maybe on the field and off the field to maybe somebody that was playing, you know, rec soccer or, you know, rec sports and something, but they want to achieve what you've achieved, or they want to get to playing at the high school level or beyond? What advice would you give to them as you look back on your own career so far?
The first thing I would say would be to set goals. That is so important. Set goals for yourself. Don't set huge goals first. Set small goals and make them achievable. And then build your way up. And the second thing I would say is focus on details, because you don't see how important that is when you're doing it. And when you're focusing on the little things while you're doing it, you don't see just how much of an impact that will have on your future. And that is something that I've been able to do. And I think that it's so important for others, is if you focus on the process, on what you're doing in the moment, that can lead you to great things.
Yeah. And you've heard me talk about being, you know, outcome driven and process focused a bunch. And so yeah, we talk about that a lot as well. Sometimes I sound like a broken record, but that process really gets you to the goal that you want to achieve.
Yeah.
Right. And those details matter. Right. Let's talk a little bit about your future too, because you're going to be going to Liberty University to play soccer. So,
yes, sir.
What was the recruiting process like for you? Because again, you have a lot of peers in a lot of different sports who, especially as they get, well, in soccer, it may even start earlier, but different sports have different timelines, but sophomore, junior year are key and senior year. How did you go through that recruiting process? And we can talk about Liberty and how you chose that.
Mm-hmm. So the recruitment process for me was definitely stressful, as it is for most people. I mean, it's a huge decision you have to make about your future. And at really a young age, you have to make that decision. And sometimes you don't feel ready to make that decision, but you have to because of your sport. I mean, for those that don't play sports, they usually end up choosing what school they go to last second or something.
Right.
But when you play a sport, you have to make that decision a little bit earlier. But my recruitment process, I mean, it was good. I made a lot of good relationships with different coaches. It really started my sophomore year is when I was really able to start talking to coaches. Sophomore summer, I think it was. And yeah, I went on a few different visits to different schools and I talked to a lot of different coaches. But at the end of the day, none of them showed how much they cared about me as much as Liberty did. And when I went on my visit, I loved it. The people were so welcoming compared to when I went on some of my other visits. The players wanted nothing to do with me and kind of pushed me to the side and were worrying about their own things that they had going on. And I mean, that is understandable, you know, when you have a recruit on campus and, you know, you got your own things you're dealing with and own things that you got to do. But when I went to Liberty, the guys were so welcoming, so inclusive in everything they did. Everybody came and introduced themselves to me, every single player. And that really meant something to me. That showed that, like, that's something I want to be a part of because they are such good people there. And that's what I want is I want to be around people that will make me who I want to be, the husband I want to be, the father I want to be. And that's ultimately why I chose Liberty, is because of the people. The soccer facilities are amazing and the coaches are great and they have a strong team, but at the end of the day, the people I want to be around is what mattered most to me.
Nice. That's great. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Kind of talking about leadership, you know, and congratulations, you won your second district MVP. So back-to-back, you know, district MVPs. And to me, you know, obviously winning the MVP of the state tournament and state championship and finishing that is a really great accomplishment. But I think district MVP is interesting because you've done it over a series of games and you have the respect, especially in a competitive district like Katy. So that's awesome. I think that, you know, you've also been a leader, not only in your presence, but also in your impact in the game. But we often talk about how great leaders are lifelong learners and they learn too. So you've had played with some amazing people, even for 4 years on some of the group that you've got as far as the seniors there. What have you learned from some of your best friends on the soccer team and how you've grown that way and how it's helped you as a leader and as a player?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say one of the biggest things would be we have so many talented players, and with talent comes egos and different personalities, and being able to deal with that is probably one of the most important things I've learned, because in life, not everybody's nice, not everybody gets along well, and you're gonna have to deal with that at different points in your life. I've made amazing relationships with the guys on my teams. I mean, all of them are great people, and I respect them so much. We don't get along all the time, you know. That's part of it. It's part of being
right.
On a team.
Being a team, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Dealing with those different situations and fights, and then on the flip side is all the successes we've had together. I've been really fortunate to be part of such a great team with so many great people, and it's built me into a great leader. I think that I'm more than capable of going out and starting my own journey by myself now, and leaving my house, and that's a big step for me, but I feel confident and ready for that.
Yeah, that's great. What's the biggest lesson that you've learned from playing soccer?
Probably dealing with adversity as a whole. With soccer and sports in general comes so many different things that could be thrown your way and so many hard times that you have to overcome, and that's ultimately what I've I've really been able to deal with this overcoming adversity. And that's something that you can carry with you for the rest of your life. And I know that applies for many sports, is all sports have adversity, and being able to deal with that is a skill you can use for the rest of your life. So that's what I would say soccer has probably taught me, and the most important thing it's taught me.
That's great. Yeah. I think, you know, I have a quote that says, you know, sports should not be a place where we find anxiety and angst, but it should be a place where we find grit, growth, and greatness. And I think that's really important. That's what sports was intended to. I know in the sports I played and I've coached, that's what it's about. It's about leadership. Yeah. It's about teamwork. It's about perseverance. And so, you know, y'all have definitely had moments like that, and you've definitely showed that. I think that one other question I wanted to ask you is just, you know, we talked about some of the moments where you've got a penalty kick or you've got a free kick, but just in those moments where maybe y'all are down or you're looking to score, what are some key things, knowing that you have the ability to score, but knowing that you have somebody like Noah that y'all have a, you know, and their other teammates as well, but have a connection, the decision process that you go through of, we call it in leadership, activating performance, either you doing it yourself or you doing it through somebody else. And as a midfielder as well, I mean, you have key moments where you've got to decide, am I going to go for this, or do I see one of my teammates that I'm going to make a great pass and set them up for success? What's the process that you go through on the field with that?
Yeah, I mean, soccer is a sport that's full of decisions constantly. I mean, Coach Kruger likes to say it's a puzzle that you have to solve on the fly. And yeah, I mean, there's so many decisions that you can make that could either be successful or not. And yeah, having the teammates around me that I can trust and that trust me make it so much easier when there's a big decision that needs to be made. Is we can trust each other to take responsibility for maybe taking a shot or putting in a hard tackle or something that could change the game ultimately. And we trust each other with that. And yeah, I mean, the decision process really is instincts. A lot of the time, I would say, is your instincts take over, especially in the pressured situations is when your instincts really take over. But yeah, I mean, ultimately our trust in each other is what helps us make the right decision.
That's great. And I just have one final question for you as well, Aiden. I think that, you know, in thinking about just your parents and the influence that they've had on you, and also having a dad who probably was a really good player in the sport that you're playing, we probably have people who are listening to this, and not only parents, sports parents, but others. But what advice would you give to them about how to navigate that? Because sometimes I'll see it early on. We've got five boys, and so we've seen all kinds of parents, and, you know, I've coached them in certain sports and club, you know, sports as well, and I've seen all kinds of parents and ways to do things, and we've tried to navigate that too with our, you know, boys as they've had success in sports, and sometimes it can be over the top, or sometimes it can be too early, too soon. So based on your experience and getting to where you've gotten, kind of maybe some success factors there, what advice would you give to parents in navigating that, whether it's somebody who's 6 years old or whether it's, you know, they're in high school?
Mm-hmm. It's different for everybody, I would say. But in my case, I've been so blessed to have two amazing parents to where they have given me the freedom in my sport. I have never felt pressure from either of them. My dad hardly ever tells me anything I've done wrong after a game. Always. After games, it's great job, Aiden, from both of them, and they tell me that they love me, and I mean, that has gone so far in my career, I would say, just because it has given me my own freedom and my own will and my own confidence, and I have been able to navigate my soccer career on my own. And that's the advice I would give to parents, is make sure your kid wants it and not you are forcing them to do what they're doing or to play what they're playing or whatever hobby it is or sport, and let them decide on their own that's what they want to do, because there becomes a point where, I mean, it could affect them, and it could really negatively affect the person or the kid, that if they don't want to be out there playing anymore, they don't want to be doing the hobby anymore, I don't feel like you should force them just because you want to see them succeed in that. They have to want it on their own. And my parents have loved me so much and really helped me and encouraged me at all times, and ultimately left the decision up to me that I want to continue playing soccer.
That's great advice. That's huge. And I'm glad you shared that, Aiden, because I often say it's funny that sometimes the parents who know the most say the least, you know, as far as that. And a lot of times when parents who don't know the most about that are saying the most, you know. And so I think you said that about what your dad said, and then, you know, also allowing you to want it and grow into it. Cause at some point it's going to not be them. It has to be about you. And it seems like they've nurtured that very well, and it's turned out very well for you too. So that's excellent advice. So anything else you want to share just about, you know, kind of your life and the impact, you know, that you've had as a platform of that, or just this idea of pursuing excellence and greatness and creating moments that matter? Because you've probably had opportunities beyond the soccer field to do that. But anything else you want to share as we close out?
I wouldn't say anything else, just that I've been more than blessed to have so many opportunities where I can show others what matters in life, and I'm so lucky for that.
That's great. And one of the things that I've always been impressed, and I think everybody's going to listen to this podcast will see this in you, but in your interviews afterwards, there's a presence and a poise to you. And I know that God wants to continue to communicate you, not only through your actions, but also through your words. And I've been very impressed, you know, for your leadership and maturity, you know, in that way, as I watch you just on little split second interviews after a moment of chaos on the field, you know, to gather yourself and to do that. So it's a quality that will serve you well in life. And man, you know, I know the Seven Lakes, you know, nation is just so excited for the impact that you've made and just the joy that you've played with, the focus that you've played with, and going to be praying for you and wishing you well in your next venture, next part of the journey at Liberty. So I know you're going to make an incredible impact in the classroom, the community, and on the soccer field as well. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. I loved every moment of it, and God bless you.